Welcome to the Mindset, Magic, and Manifestation podcast hosted by me, Michaela J. Get ready to dive into an action-packed, bougie-based, and spiritually guided experience on all things manifesting your next level luxe life. Let's go.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Mindset, Magic, and Manifestation podcast with your girl. It is I, the Michaela J, here to teach you how to manifest your next level luxe life. Let's go. Welcome back to another episode. Right next to me, I have the shining bright Caleb, my best friend, you guys' spiritual bestie. You know, sometimes I pose to you, Caleb, and I think the people like you more than they like me.
They really do. I've seen some of the messages and they seem really excited. So I'm just here to give the people what they want.
Got to give the people what they want.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I've gone on multiple retreats now, ones that Caleb hasn't gotten to join, and people are visibly and audibly disappointed when Caleb isn't there. So Caleb is coming to my Palm Springs event, which is in a couple of weeks from when you guys are hearing this. I'm super excited. Palm Springs is like one of our favorite places. And I know the girls are excited. So here we are. But Caleb, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I am very excited for Palm Springs for a variety of reasons. But, you know, I always love going on your retreats with you and not only being able to help you, but I also love being able to participate as well and get exactly what they're getting out of it as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really excited about that. I'm excited to be here. You always know I love joining you. So whenever you're ready to have me, I'll be here.
We're here. The people beg to come back. You know, you and Austin are always like, put me on the podcast. I'm like, okay. I mean, every one of our conversations you could definitely record.
Yeah.
Because like one thing about our friendship that maybe we do another episode on, of talking about like spiritual friendships and high vibe friendships, is that like whenever we talk about things, we might like rant and joke around and be like, oh, today sucks, or like this weekend at work was horrible, you know, for you. But we always come up with like solutions and ways to change our mindset. And so that's why I love doing these podcasts, because people can get so much out of it. And I think it shows people of, it makes them reflect on their own friendships of like, oh, where are we just ranting and complaining and not doing something that's benefiting the both of us? And it just gives people an example of what like a good and supportive friendship looks like.
Yeah, definitely. I like that. We always are, you know, always trying to push ourselves, ask ourselves interesting questions that will, you know, help make it more than just a ranting session, where it's more of like, okay, yes, I can get my emotions and my feelings out from the whatever situation, but then now I can like reflect and move forward with it and hopefully grow from it.
Yeah, and not just like adulting.
Adulting. Shout out my mom.
That's our least favorite saying, you guys, is when people are like, oh, it's just adulting. Like, shut up. I'm sorry, but like just adulting, you have to pay your bills. Like, get over it. You know, why are we complaining about things? I just don't think it's worth your time. I don't think it's worth your energy. You're not getting anything positive out of it. Because the things that people say like, oh, adulting, like, oh, I hate putting away my laundry. Like, okay, why aren't you like sage your house, Palo Santo, light a great candle, put on music, put on a podcast, and like have a blast putting your laundry away. Like, make it a vibe.
Yeah, make it more enjoyable for yourself. It's how you can like get through some of those mundane tasks.
Exactly.
And not just, and as well, I feel like a part of the adulting scheme I don't want to call it a scheme. I don't know what to call it, but like the trope or what have you.
Yeah.
Is like a lot of those things, you have to do it, and B, you can't control that you have to do it. It's just like rent, like you have to pay rent, or you don't, or you don't live somewhere, I guess, if that's what you want, then cool. But like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes useless complaining is just useless complaining, and you don't have to always say it.
No, you can just shut up sometimes, you know? I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Like, ugh.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anyways, let's get into today's episode. So, Caleb, do you want to tell the people about your new career move, your new goal, what you're working on right now, because that's going to be kind of our topic today, is really talking about how we can move forward with manifesting new and big career goals that might feel scary, might feel out of your comfort zone. And Caleb is really spearheading his way into this type of era in his life right now. So do you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of you who don't know, right now I am currently a registered nurse. I work in the critical care setting, so in ICU. So I see the sickest of the sickest people that'll ever come into the hospital. And I've been doing that for 3.5, almost 4 years now. And I feel like especially over the past year, I've been really reflecting on what I want to do with my life and my career. And I was looking to see maybe if I could do a career choice that would keep me still in nursing, because I do still like working in healthcare, but I wanted something that's maybe a little more sustainable, something that will offer better pay, will offer better like a work-life balance, which is something with regular like bedside nursing is, it's difficult to achieve. We just do so much and see so many things. And I work overnight as well, so my sleep schedule is always messed up. And so probably over the last, 8 or 9 months maybe, I was looking into all of those options and, you know, what I could do, whether it be without going to school, with going to school. And CRNA is kind of the path that I've chosen to take. So CRNA is a nursing route. So it stands for Certified Registered Nurse Anesthesiologist. And so I would still be a nurse, but I am making the plan to hopefully go back to school, earn a doctorate degree, and then become, for lack of better words, an anesthesiologist. It's not exactly the same. I would not be a full-on physician, but I would take on most of the role and the job opportunities that they do. But as Michaela has mentioned, going after such big and different dreams like that is very daunting. It's extremely daunting. For CRNA specifically, the application process and the interviews and all of the certifications they want you to get, it can be very time consuming. It can be a lot of knowledge overload. And in, at least in my personal experience, it led to a lot of comparing myself to others, which is something I don't necessarily like doing. But the field is so competitive that it's almost hard to not to. It's almost hard to not be like, you have to be the best of the best essentially to get into these programs. And then you say, well, I'm going up with the best of the best across all of these nurses in the entire country.
Yeah.
And that's pretty daunting, because I have met smarter nurses who have done this for longer times, who have had different opportunities than me. And so it's hard to sit there and think like, oh, how am I supposed to like be even better than them? Like, how am I supposed to beat them? And in my mind, for a while, I made it a big competition. But I've been trying to pull that back a little bit and focus more on myself and not the others that I'll be going against. Because at the end of the day, this is my opportunity. This is what I want. And I don't really care what other people want.
Yeah. And like doing the comparison thing, it doesn't even make you feel better.
No, it doesn't. It makes me feel way worse.
Honestly, like it doesn't help anything. And even when, you know, we joke about this sometimes, like I'll tell Caleb, I'm like, you are so overqualified. You are so much smarter than so many of the people that are going towards, you know, this same schooling and being in the same program. But even thinking about that, that doesn't make you feel any better. You're like, yeah, for sure, I am smarter and more qualified than a lot of the people. But also it doesn't ease any of the anxieties, really. It might give you that like 5 minutes of like, yeah, I'm a bad bitch, I'm so much smarter, but it's not something that like sustainably makes you feel better, because it's giving your power away to the other people that aren't even involved, you know? Because you could talk to one person at work and they say that they're applying, and because you're in this pattern, a really spiral of comparison, like it can immediately make you feel anxious. It can immediately throw you out of your power. And when we are manifesting big things into our lives, big goals, big changes, we need to have all of our power within ourselves. And so just so people kind of understand, how competitive is it to get into these schools?
It I mean, extremely, extremely competitive. You have to typically have an undergraduate GPA requirement. Like I mentioned, there's a couple certifications. One of them, one of the most difficult certifications for me personally was the, it's called the CCRN, the Critical Care Registered Nurse Certification. And it was basically, it was like a 125 question, 125 question test of the hardest nursing questions you could have. I mean, I studied for that test for like 6+ months.
Months and months.
I was studying in all of, in whatever free time I had, I was like focusing on studying. And then you have to do the same exact thing. So like, I really haven't stopped studying. So I got that certification back in early December. And then I really haven't stopped studying from there because in these, so you have to do an interview process. So you like submit all of the stuff. And then there's an interview process. So all of the schools will either do, most of them do in-person interviews, but I know some of them are doing it over Zoom now. And these questions can range from your very typical, like very typical interview questions with like emotional intelligence that are personality based, you know, your strengths, weaknesses, all that stuff. But then they will also mix in questions about clinical status, about medications. They'll make up patient scenarios and they will just keep, they literally say they will keep egging you on and keep asking you questions until you basically say, I don't know.
Crazy.
They will just keep drilling you. Some of these interviews, I mean, can last up to, I've heard some programs that do interviews up to 2 hours. You'll sit in there in a room in front of a board of 5 to 10 people, and you will just sit there and they will just ask you questions and ask you questions and ask you questions. Every single school is different.
Right.
But like I had kind of said before, you have to be the most qualified. You have to have references. You have to have certifications. You essentially have to be one of the top nurses on your unit and have critical care knowledge. You have to have a critical care background base. You have to already work in critical care nursing for ideally 2 years. You can technically do it with one, but I know that it's ideal that you have 2+ years. And then it's basically like a fight to the death at that point with the interviews. Some schools, I'm just gonna give some like example numbers. So most of the schools take 15 to 30 people, depending on the program. Some of these schools, let's say they accept 25. The schools that will accept 25 can have, I mean, I've heard upwards of like 500 to like 750 applicants.
Crazy.
And they'll only take probably about like 100 maximum. Mm-hmm. So you already have to get through like the pre-screening with your resume, all of the other stuff. You have to usually write an essay. Some schools make you even write like an actual like evidence-based practice essay in like APA format and all that jazz. And then you have to sit there for anywhere from a 20-minute to a 2-hour long interview, and you have to kill it. Like you have to. There's like really no any mess up, any misstep. I know, I love saying and you basically have to kill it, because if they're interviewing 100 people and their program takes 25,
right,
you have 75 people to beat at minimum. So it's pretty stressful when I like say here and put it like that. And obviously when I say that, like, oh, you have, you know, at least 75 people to beat, it's like, how do you not make it a competition?
Yeah. But what I think is really cool about it is that you have to have these certifications. You have to have this knowledge. You have to have, you know, the personality to get through the interview. You have to have the grit and the discipline to take all these tests and certifications and actually like know your shit to keep moving forward. And really, like, when I hear all of that, like, yes, it's so competitive and you do want to be like the best nurse on your unit, but really it's just about your own personal excellence, because if you care about being really good at your job, you're going to be naturally be one of the best nurses on your floor. And it's like, if you constantly want to move your career forward and want to be the best version of yourself, you're going to want to keep getting those certifications. I mean, when you started this job here in Texas, there was a certification you wanted to go get within like the first few months, because it was something that you had done briefly at another hospital. And it's like, that was just like you wanted to go do. And I think that's going to be a huge difference when you're like going into the interviews. Oh yeah, newsflash, he got an interview. Spoiler. When you go into your interview, because it's like that's just part of your personality. And I think that's something that resonates with a lot of the girls that are listening to this, of like, we just value being high value people. We value moving forward with our life. We value being of value, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many people out there that don't. And I think that's really hard for people, and because it's like we think that, oh, we're in this big competition with all these people, but a lot of those people don't value being the best versions of themselves mm-hmm. like we do. And so that already sets you apart from all of these other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I know one thing that they always look for in interviews, and is probably one of the top things for the committees that they look for, is like that grit, that determination. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to actually sit there and go through 3 years of school with no breaks? Like, right. Are you going to be able to study 8 hours a day? Are you going to be able to have someone's life in your hands? Because mm-hmm. the CRNA, their role is typically, they're in an operating room, and they are, I feel like people not with healthcare experience will be like, think that it's the surgeon that runs the operating room, but it's not. It would be me. It would be the CRNA. I'm the one who works on the patient's sedation and their blood pressure and make sure that they're comfortable. And I would have the power to basically say, Mr. Surgeon, you need to stop what you're doing. I need to fix the patient, and then you can go back to what you're doing. Mm. And so they want someone who's going to be able to speak up like that. They want someone who's going to be able to control a room. Mm-hmm. They want someone who will not be afraid, right. Which is something that those are skills that not everyone has, and that's right. Okay. And sometimes I doubt myself in those skills as well. It's easy to freeze under pressure, but you sometimes have to. This is something that I've learned, I feel like, in my past year of nursing. You have to be able to push past your preconceived limits at, and you need mm-hmm. to be able to push past those.
Oh, the comfort zone, baby. Mm-hmm. We always have to move that comfort zone forward, because it's like, I think this goes for everybody's career. We all have moments where we have to do things that are so out of our comfort zone. Even going for the process of you applying for school out of the comfort zone, because mm-hmm. it's scary, it's undetermined, it's unknown. You know, one of the big career goals that I'm pushing forward this year, as you guys know, I really want to sign to a podcast network. And so that requires me to make different moves, to put myself out there. And that's scary, but there are those moments where you basically just have, you guys know, when I talk about my spiritual awakening, it's always these mirror moments. Like, I look at myself in the mirror and I have these big epiphanies. And so you kind of have to have that when it comes to your comfort zone of like looking in the mirror and being like, I can handle this, but I have to choose to handle it. Mm-hmm. And for you in those moments where you're gonna have to make tough calls and really be a leader in the room, it's gonna be uncomfortable at first, but you know, like, this is what I was trained to do. This is what I decided to do. And it's scary and weird now, but I'm willing to go there.
Yeah, you have to be willing to go there. Like, mm-hmm. at the minimum, at least be willing to work through or push aside whatever your problems are, whatever your insecurities are and your anxieties are about whatever situation it is. And at the end of the day, it's sink or swim. You either do it yeah. and you grow as a person, or you drown. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure you still learn from your, right. from, you know, mistakes, but you are almost limiting yourself to your own potential.
You are. Are you willing to do it, or are you not? And I think that that's something that people need to ask themselves more often. Like, are you willing to step up to the plate? Mm-hmm. And there's that quote, and I say this too, I don't know whose quote this is, but it's like, I have the life that I have because I'm willing to do things that other people aren't willing to do. Mm-hmm. Same thing for CRNA. Like, some yeah. people just aren't willing to tolerate that type of pressure. They can't do it. They would crack under that pressure. They're mm-hmm. just, you know, some people's personalities just aren't built for that. And they're not interested in that, and 100%, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But for us who are high achievers and we want to go after things and constantly stretch ourselves, like, we're willing to go that extra mile, which is also why with CRNA you get a huge income jump. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to, this is like a little side tangent, when we talk about the energy of money, when you have more money in your reality, when you're manifesting more money, it's because you're handling more pressure. Like, for me, I make a lot of money in my business because I'm making all the decisions. I'm putting everything on my back. And it's the same thing with CRNAs. Like, you're calling the shots. There's a lot of pressure on your back. So then you get more compensation. So if you're wanting to have that type of lifestyle where everything is more luxury, you are making the big bucks, are you willing to take yourself to places that before you weren't willing to go to?
Yeah, 100%. It's always just about making yourself better and mm-hmm. hopefully doing even better for yourself in the future.
Are you ready to step into your overflow and abundance era? You are ready to have an overflow of energy every single morning, excited to jump into your workout clothes, put on your Drake playlist, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am that bitch. that's the kind of overflow era we're talking about, then it's time for you to jump inside my program, the Mindset, Magic, and Manifestation Method. This is my signature program to make manifestation easy as fuck for my matcha meets Louis Vuitton kind of girlies, because you can manifest first class, a hot husband, your dream business, a banging body, the Range Rover, all of it without meaning you're too much, you're too extra, too this, too that. Finally, we have a program that is an A to Z manifestation blueprint, so you know exactly what you should be clearing, embodying, and doing every day to move those manifestations forward. If you're ready to make your vision board a reality this year, I want you to join me inside of the MMM method. The link to sign up is in the show notes, and if you have any questions, if it's a good fit for you, if it's going to work for your manifestations, feel free to shoot me a message over on Instagram. Now back to the show.
Period. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, how did it feel going through the process of doing applications? Like, talk to me about your emotional state, your mental state. Were you super scared? Were you really excited? Was it waves of emotion? Like, talk to us about that process.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, obviously a mixture of emotions. There would be times where, I remember when I was making my resume and I was, I found like a really nice template and I was doing it all nice, had a little pop of color. And I remember I like texted you a picture of it and I was like, yeah, I just like killed this resume. Like, I know I did. And at that moment I was like, thanks Canva. And so I like felt very proud of myself and I felt very strong and I was like, oh yeah, I can do this. And then other times when I am like writing a rough draft of like my personal statement or essay or, you know, whatever it was, there's times where I'm trying to explain myself, or there's times where I'm trying to get vulnerable, and there's times where I have to show that I can be a strong ICU nurse, but like I am also a real person and that I'm not perfect. And I'm trying to like find the balance between showing my strengths and my weaknesses in there, because that's part of what they wanted in that specific essay. And it got very overwhelming for a while. I had a lot of emotions and I went back to a lot of fear, which fear has kind of been something that I have worked on for the past few years, because I used to be a much more scared person, introverted, not wanting to talk to others, not wanting to be seen by others. And I felt that sometimes when I was writing that essay, I didn't want to be seen, but I knew that I had to be seen, because this is my goal, this is what I want, and I had to push through it. Obviously, easier said than done. Much easier said than done. But yeah, it came with a mixture of emotion. And then I would, you know, sometimes I would have some what if moments, which I've done really well over the past couple of years to really stop like the what if comments in my brain. But
ooh, talk about that. Give us an example.
So I would be like, oh wow, I just spent, you know, 2-3 hours on this essay. What if they don't like it? What if this essay wasn't good enough? What if my resume is not good enough? What if I don't get in and I just spent all this time and effort on it? Because one of my biggest pet peeves is having my time wasted. And so I don't want to waste my time putting in all this work and then having that fear of rejection come back again. And then I'm like, oh, what if I get rejected? Oh, then, you know, I'll just sit in my bed and cry.
Right.
And so
order
Wingstop, say less. But it's just like, those weren't necessarily emotions I wanted to feel, but I knew that I had to feel them in order to work past them and get through them. And so I would try to push myself to do so when those scary, whether it be anxious, fear, et cetera, moments and the what if questions would come back. I'd always just try to like recenter myself if I could.
I think that's so valuable, because I mean, we're all humans. We all have those moments. I have the moments where I'm like, what if this doesn't work? What if this is a waste of time? What if this is a waste of money? What if I launch this thing and no one wants to join? What if I launch this retreat? Nobody wants to go, right? We always have these feelings. And I think I like what you said of like, oh, I know I need to feel this, because you just have to see it. That's the thing about like our fears and our doubts and these shadow elements of ourselves. They just want to be seen and recognized, but you don't have to attach to them. The problem that I see and where we really start to spiral is when we attach to them and we entertain them and we are like, okay, well, if it doesn't work, then I'm going to be stuck in bedside nursing and then it's going to be the same thing. And then I'm going to get burnt out and then I'm going to get depressed. And it's like when we attach to it and we bring more meaning to it is when things start to spiral.
And sometimes I find myself almost bringing those emotions and feelings into reality when that doesn't necessarily need to be the case. Like I am just a really emotional person, even
Scorpio
within myself. Yeah. Shout out my Scorpio signs. And, and so I feel emotions really heavily. And so I can even, you know, make up scenarios in my head and then feel those emotions. Like, I can cry on command if I want, like, because I'm so good at, like,
weird flex.
At being at like feeling emotions. And sometimes, like, I would find myself, like you had said, kind of attaching to those probably a little more than I needed to. But at minimum, it helped me feel them. And then obviously on the other side of it, I was able to get through them. Now really the only kind of emotions I have towards it now, because I have my interview coming up, which is pretty much the last step. I would say maybe like 60, like two thirds of the way. Most of the time I'm excited, because I always try to think, because then this is what I'd be doing, is flipping the what if questions around. And so then I'll be like, okay, what if I get in?
What if, like, they love the essay?
What if they love my essay? What if they love my personality in the interview?
What if they fall in love with me?
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like, you got to keep all your options open.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's always what I've tried to do, is always not focus on the negative what ifs, like switch them to the positive what ifs.
Yeah.
And then who knows, like, how expansive that could make you.
100%. And I feel like the moment that things started to shift in your mindset, not around this, but I'm going to take it a little throwback.
Oh God, how far back?
the moment that Caleb's mindset started shifting into like positive what ifs and shifting it around is a couple years ago when we were in France.
Oh, I was wondering if it was going to be France.
Caleb and I were in France on the most hot mess trip of our entire lives. Actually, if you didn't know, I have this tattoo on my forearm of the globe, and there's a little passport stamp of a France passport stamp, and it's literally dedicated to this hot mess trip.
Yeah.
And there is everything that could have gone wrong went wrong on this trip. And we're not going to get into the details, because that could be another episode. And we've talked about it before. But the moment Caleb's had like this rock bottom breakdown moment to break through, we had missed our train to go to this small town in France to see one of our friends, because I took us to the wrong train station. It was my fault. You know, there was two M names and we went to the wrong one. And Caleb was like, oh my God, like 13th reason. Everything had already gone wrong up until this point.
Oh, I was dead inside.
And we sat down at this little table and I was like, I'm gonna figure it out. You know, this is like 6 months into my spiritual awakening. So I'm like, don't worry, it's happening for a reason. Like, I've got this. And Caleb's just sitting here like,
I was seething. I was so mad. I was like mad, and I wasn't mad at you.
No, yeah.
I was just mad
the
at like
the situation.
It was just like, dang,
happened.
Another thing. I was like, I don't even have my luggage yet. Like,
no, he didn't. And I was like, I got this shit. And so I found us a bus instead, because there was no more train.
Well, you found a snow globe first.
Well, we'll get to that. I found us a bus, and I was like, okay, we're gonna take this bus. We have to go to this other place, but there was like plenty of time. And so we're sitting there figuring it out, and I just look over, and then we were there over Christmas time, and there was this snow globe like ornament that was lit up in the train station that you could like walk through. And I, you know, Caleb is literally like huffing and puffing of anger, and I'm just like, you know what, it's fine. Can you take a picture of me in the snow globe? And he was like, are you fucking kidding me? But he took the photo.
Yeah, I did. It was a great picture.
It was a great picture. I think about it all the time. And then we're like, okay, we're going to do the bus. And so we have to switch spots. And I'm like, oh, but we're, you know, we have time. We're right down the street from Zara. Like, can we go to Zara? And he was like, no, like, we need to just go to the other place. And I was like, please, it's right around the corner. And we went to Zara. And I bought a scarf that I still have. And I think about this exact story every time I wear it. But then we went and we made our bus and everything was okay. But that everything was okay that day. Things still went wrong afterwards.
Yeah,
but
I still broke my ankle a couple days later, but it's fine.
Walking home from the club.
Yeah.
Past lives. But I feel like that was the day that Caleb's mindset started shifting from negative what ifs to positive. Because it was just one of those trips where it was just a meant to be. It was just a full breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there were so many things that went wrong that, I mean, rock bottom to breakthroughs,
yeah,
is the process. Mm-hmm. And so now, because of the snow globe and the Zara scarf and the mist train, we can flip around our negative what ifs to positive what ifs.
Exactly. Thank God that happened.
I would do it all over again. Yeah. Oh, that's also the same flight that we took that had a layover in Iceland, and we like almost missed every single flight because the airline was late to everything. They also didn't give us free water. We like lived off of Chex Mix and water from the airplane bathroom.
We did.
Those are low times.
Yeah.
Those are low times.
Things are much better now.
And now we're on to bigger and better.
Exactly.
But I also want to circle back to something you mentioned about being seen. I think that this is something a lot of people struggle with, of like they have this fear of being seen and they have this almost fear of being heard. And I want to talk about what that process was like for you doing your application. What did you run into? What did you shift your mindset around? How did that look for you?
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like most of that came out when I was writing my personal essay. It was difficult for me because I have a lot to say, and when I made my rough draft, it was probably like 3 pages or so, and then I ended up, you know, trying to cut it back a little bit. But I was trying my best to be a little more brave and a little more vulnerable with my statements. So they wanted to know like some personal experiences, work experiences, reflecting, etc. They had kind of like a whole guide of what they wanted you to put in there. And obviously, I personally didn't come up from the best childhood. I didn't come from money. I had, you know, I lived with a single mom. And
Caleb
that
lived
came
in
with
the
its
raccoon
own.
House.
I
me.
Did live in the raccoon house mm-hmm. at the same time, which was a blast.
It's a true story.
Yeah, it fell through the roof. And and so I wanted to make that known, and I wanted to make that seen. And I even worded it in the personal essay. I said, after I'd kind of explained that at the beginning, I even said, like, I'm not trying to Kayla, and I had even said, I was like, I didn't really feel like being seen that day. Like, I just wanted to hang out with my friends and have a couple drinks and then just vibe.
But Caleb was the number one draft pick. He got so much attention.
I got a lot of attention that day. And I was thinking about it the next day in my little anxiety moment, and I was literally thinking, like, why? Like, why don't I want to be seen? Why don't I, like, always, there's some certain times where I don't always feel confident and I don't always feel like I'm at my best, and I want to be able to portray that to the people around me, that I am at my best and I want to feel my best, both, you know, for me and the people around me, and hopefully help, you know, everyone around me grow and feel better about themselves. But inner confidence and just having, even sometimes being perceived, it just isn't always comfortable for me. So it's something I've worked with, you know, within myself and journaled about and talked about in therapy for a very long time, was issues like this. And working past it, you know, for the most part, I have worked past this. It comes up every now and then, but I need to remind myself that I am confident. I do have a lot of great skills. I do have a lot of great qualities, and there's no need to be scared of being rejected or if someone doesn't like you or if someone doesn't like the way you dress or what have you. Mm-hmm. I try to think it literally doesn't matter.
Literally
the only thing that matters is what you think about yourself and maybe how your close friends and family think about you. And that's it.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Even other people's opinions, it doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. I mean, like, when I'm in a phase where I feel like I have low confidence or I'm not feeling the best about myself and Austin will hype me up, I'm like, I love hearing that, but it, like, literally doesn't change a single vibration in my body. It's, like, nice to hear, but it doesn't change how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, like, why do we sweat so much other people's opinions?
Yeah.
When it comes to doing anything in our lives?
Yeah,
but it's
actually
just such a natural human reaction, because as humans, like, we have a big fear of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be really, really hard.
Yeah. I saw this TikTok one time, and it was this girl. She was in New York City, and she was like, oh, someone just came up to me and said they didn't like my outfit or something. And she was like, and her response to that man was, what are you going to do, fight me? And I thought that was so comical, because, like, honestly, yeah, like, what are you going to do about it? What is your negative opinion, like, really about to do to me?
You want
to
me to go change? Are you going to buy me a new outfit, sir?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I guess we're going to Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, you have no power over me. Like,
yeah.
You really shouldn't let other people and their energy have power over you.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is, like, what we were kind of talking about at the beginning, you know? It's like, when you have these things where other people can take that confidence away from you, like, you will just constantly feel like a shell of a human.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so reactive to everything going on around you.
Yeah, 100%. You need to just, you know, work your best on feeling complete within yourself. Mm-hmm. And that will really help you through anything that you go through in life.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
I like one of the things that you said when we talk about your essay. and thinking like, oh, well, maybe they'll think I'm too emotional, or it was like too much of this and not much of that. I think that's mm-hmm. a really common feeling that we have, especially for us that like we're super into spirituality. We're always working on our mindsets. We have these big goals. I'm too extra. I'm too bougie. I'm too materialistic. And like, we're always afraid that we're going to be too much of these things. And even like, I've been in relationships where I was too much and people will try and dim you down. And it's something that we have to start owning about ourselves, which is exactly what we're saying here. Of like, when you can just own that and take that power back, if somebody tells you you're too much or that this isn't enough, it's just not the right person for you. It's not the right opportunity. So even if the school had read that and rejected your application, it's not the right program for you. Mm-hmm. It's not where you're supposed to be, because do you want to be in a school that only cares about the resume, the perfect certifications, the perfect clinical answers? Like, no, you also want to have your personality shine through, because that is what makes you a great worker.
Yeah, 100%. Your you know, personality is just as much as everything else you have to offer, like your skills and then things like this. And if not more important in my mind, like, as long as you're a good person, like I can mess with you, you know, like,
yeah,
like then you're good. And it sucks in my mind. Like, I hate that we think that about ourselves, that we think, oh, we're too much for this, too much for that. But to the right people, you'll never be too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always something to keep in the back of your head. Just because someone A, B, or C, or some program A, B, or C thinks that you are too much, then, like you said, those aren't the right things that are supposed to be in your life. It's not in alignment with you at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's like, it's their loss, not mine. I always mm-hmm. say this, and I've said this many times on the podcast. Like, if somebody tells you that you're too much or you're not enough, in reality, it's their own projection of themselves. They're the ones who are not enough for you. And I have had a lot of peace with that when it comes to like my relationship with my dad, who I don't speak with. And it's like, he was just never enough for me. He was never enough to show up for me in the way that I deserved him to. And same thing with ex-boyfriends and friends that are no longer in my life. Like, we have standards too. And just because they can't match that, people will attempt to make you feel lower. They want to lower you down to their level. And that's a moment where you get to decide to step into your personal power and be like, I understand that's how you feel about yourself. It's not how I feel about myself. That's not my standard. And I'm not willing to lower my standards to make you comfortable. Amen. And so people will throw things at you to make themselves feel better or to make that process go through in the way they want it to. And that's not how life works.
Exactly.
And that's not how we level up our lives, is by lowering ourselves to someone else's standard.
Mm-hmm. And, kind of going back to more of a school and career goal oriented on this pathway, I've learned from interviews, from doing a variety of interviews and getting a lot of tips from a whole bunch of different people. An interview is not just one way. Like, an interview is a conversation between two people. The interviewer should be able to obviously interview if I have the qualifications and the knowledge and the personality and what have you that I deserve to be in whatever spot, whether it be a job, a school, etc. But you as the interviewee should also be interviewing them. I would not want to go to a school where my mental and emotional health is not at least acknowledged or taken care of.
Yeah.
Because I'm going, this program that I will be going through is extremely tough physically, mentally, emotionally, mentally, all of the things.
It's very intense.
It's very intense. It's 3 years, no breaks. You work and work and work and study and study and study. And I wouldn't want to be at a school that it just cares about grades, because mm-hmm. I'm more than my grades, or
period.
I'm more than whatever job role you're having me fill. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, as I've learned, you should be asking them. Like, one of my favorite questions to ask in interviews is, what does your program, job, place of wherever, et cetera, what do you guys have in place to help protect your employees or your students or whatever it is? Do you guys have anything that helps with mental health? Do you guys have anything that will help comfort me? Do you guys allow for an extra day on an assignment if something were to go wrong? Like, those are things that I want to know, because, like, yes, I am going to your school, but I am now a part of that community at that school, and I deserve, you know, we deserve to be taken care of as well as learn.
Treated as people.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Just a number in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we always end up in the right place. You know, everything happens for a reason and everything comes together exactly as it's supposed to. Because mm-hmm. like, let's say you did get into a program that was way more clinical and you were super excited to go, but they didn't really like or care for the more emotional, the more personality parts of you. It's like you would have ended up having a horrible time at that program.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the right place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited for your interview.
Me too.
When we're recording this, it's how many days from now? Five?
Six. Depends on if you count today or not.
I don't know.
It's next Tuesday.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that might not mean anything to the viewers, but whatever,
it's
get it uploaded.
Basically in a week from now when yeah. we're recording this. And how are you feeling about your interview?
I am feeling good. I have done a lot of studying, both clinical as well as practicing interview questions, like more standard personality-based interview questions. I have been trying to catch myself when I tangent and try to not say things like those filler words, because they don't want to hear the filler words. They want to hear your answer. And I... in trying my best to stay sane, I am trying my best to study and focus on now the topics that need the most help or the routes that need the most pick me up. And, you know, I am going to do this interview. I am very hopeful that I'm going to kill it and we'll see what happens. I'm trying to stay calm. I'm trying to stay confident. Obviously you can waver sometimes, but
yeah,
you know, I'm going to get through it regardless and I'm yeah. going to do it. And ideally I get into school.
Yeah. Hopefully we can do another episode when you officially manifest your acceptance.
Yeah. That would be
amazing. Would be full circle and so exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think that this brings up an interesting conversation of how do we start to navigate the unknown? And this is something you've been doing the whole process, because you guys, from the point when Caleb applied to when he finally got the email for the interview, it was a long time period. And it's mm-hmm. a long, and especially with one of the schools Caleb's applying to, would require moving out of state. We're in Texas right now, so it would be a big move. And that's a lot of unknown and change. And then with no answers yet, it can really cause you to kind of go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important for us to be intentional with how we handle the unknown when we don't have those answers yet. And I talk about this in my quantum program, where like in the quantum, all of our desires exist. And we have to look at the reality we're in right now, almost as Plato. When there's nothing there, our mind can easily believe it's not happening. They're not going to email me. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get the interview. But we could also equally believe in those positive what ifs we're talking about, of like, oh my gosh, they're going to email me at the perfect time. The interview is going to come at the perfect time. It's going to give me extra time to study, you know, because it ended up coming up later than we expected.
Mm-hmm.
And we can equally as easily entertain those thoughts. And what happens in our reality, and especially when you're playing with like quantum manifestation and quantum physics, is like when you start to believe in that side, you mold that into reality. But it's hard when things are really unknown. So how mm-hmm. did you kind of deal with that?
Let's see. I did a few different things. I know every now and then I would text you or call you for some positive words of affirmation.
Yes. I'm in Bali, like sending voice notes and texts. I'm like, you've got this
yeah.
shit. Like, just wait. It's going to come at the perfect time.
Yeah. And me personally, a big fan of impatience. Mm-hmm.
I knew this was going to come.
Patience is one of the lessons that
Caleb refuses to learn.
I'm right now I'm refusing. I want what I want when I want it. And I don't like waiting. I don't like waiting in traffic. I don't like waiting to know details. I just want to know. And I don't like having, this comes back to my control issues, is I don't like having my fate in other people's hands.
Mm.
And So I submitted my application at the end of December, and then I waited 2 months before I heard back anything. They literally just said, oh, you'll find out sometime in February or March. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just sit here
for the rest of
here.
Your life.
Yeah. I was like, I guess I'll just sit here and hope for the best. But like, how are you supposed to sit and hope for 60 plus days? So,
yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a little difficult. I would text some of my other like old coworkers and friends that are also applying to schools or to the same school, and I'd be like, hey, did you hear anything yet? Mm-hmm. Like, are they just like not gonna? Because I started being like, oh God, like I'm getting rejected, like it's over.
He was like, I have a couple backup plans.
Yeah,
I'm like, just wait.
Literally, I know, because and I'm such a future thinker too. So I'm always like, oh, okay, if this doesn't happen, whatever. Like, let me look at a whole other career field. Is essentially what I was doing, and then I had you know, to get reality checked and reality check myself, and just be like, it's okay. Like, yes, it might not happen on the timeline that you like, but it's on the timeline that it's supposed to happen on. And just reminding yourself that, as well as finding good ways to let your emotions out about it all, you know, is really probably what helped me the most to get through the waiting game.
The waiting game. And patience is definitely not your thing.
Mm-mm.
It's not.
My mom's been telling me that since I was like three, I swear. She's been telling me about patience all my life. And I feel like I have good patience, but also like speed it up.
My face when you said that. I feel like I have good patience. I went,
I think I do.
You want to tell them worse. About the lady in the parking lot yesterday?
Okay, well, she shouldn't have been hobbling in the middle of the street. She was taking too long.
She was walking really
so slow. And I'm like, I'm trying to park, ma'am. Like, get into the store.
You needed ranch.
I literally needed my ranch. Like, I'm sorry. What do you want me to do? I'm on a time crunch. Like, traffic is going to get bad. Like, please get out of the way.
Yeah. She was taking her time.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I want to make sure that we touch on before we wrap up is talking about action steps. So one thing that you do really well in the process, whether it was you studying for that test that you took, the CCRN, is like you were saying for months and months and months. And then there's times where you're like, I'm not going to take it. And then there's times like, oh, I'm going to take it. I need to take it. And it's like, but you would still study anyways. And then even for this, like in the period between the application and hearing back, there was still studying. And granted, obviously you're going to be more intentional about it when you know you have the interview, but it's not like the studying dropped off the face of the earth for you. So one thing that you do well is you're being proactive and taking action. You've even had conversations about the moving, what your living situation would be like. So talk to me about what action steps you like to take when things are uncertain and why you continue to take those action steps.
Sure. So what I like to do, and typically I just do this in my own head, but I know other people prefer writing. I like to kind of write out, for me, think out, but other people write out all of the different things that you need to do for your goal. So like my goal is school. So I would write, I literally had a list in my phone of all of the different parts of the application, and I could just check mark off each one. But then I would also put in there, like housing is one of them. Cause when I go back to do the school, I don't have a disposable income. Like you can't, some of them schools like literally make you sign a contract where you can't work, during this school. And so I would stop making money in the traditional route that I do make money. And so I was having conversations with my mom and with friends and, you know, trying to even navigate those things. Some little tips that work for me is I like prioritizing. Well, let me just end it there. I like prioritizing.
Okay.
And so I like to always knock out the tasks or ideas or what have you that are the easiest to get through. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I kind of like going easiest to hardest.
Interesting. So many people say do the hardest ones first.
Yeah. I personally find myself more overwhelmed when I have a bigger list of things. So that's why I like to knock out the easier ones first.
Smart.
So like in the interview process, like, I mean, I guess getting the certifications is a little different, but it's like, oh, I had my certifications and then I had like to fill out like the demographics and all of the kind of boring stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like for the end, I saved the resume and the personal statement, the personal essay, whatever, towards the end. Because I wanted to be able to spend the most time on that and be the most intentional with it. Now, that's just how my brain works. Other people's might not work that way. Like you said, I know some people like knocking out that big task first, so it's off their plate. I don't mind having big tasks on my plate. I like having less tasks on my plate.
That makes sense. Yeah, especially if you get overwhelmed easily. And I feel like a lot of us will get overwhelmed into inaction. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, let me just knock out these like quick little things first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's exactly how I am. I'll sit there and I'll look at a big list. And I'm like, wowee, let me just sit down. Like, let me just get on my phone real quick. But yeah, so I personally like knocking out some of the smaller, easier, or more mundane tasks first. As far as like the studying and stuff goes, I'll kind of like set a time, like a timeline up in my head to where, so let me guys give you guys like a little fake timeline or just, you know, a suggestion mm-hmm. one. So it's like I had my test in December, and for probably like 3 or 4 months before I took my test in December, let's say like November and October, I treated that time a little differently than I treated my time beforehand. So I feel like beforehand I was fitting in the tasks and the studying when I had free time versus once it got closer to crunch time, I made the time. Mm. So I would like make the time to do those tasks and make that more a part of my like daily routine. Instead of filling in gaps, I made a more concrete schedule without gaps and was more intentional with my studying and with my writing or, you know, whatever I had to do.
That's so
just
important.
In order to create, you know, the best that I could on this.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where people get stuck when it comes to big career goals or big changes or just big goals they want to go after. They think like, oh, I don't have time. You make time for mm-hmm. these things. If it's really important to you, you will make the time.
Yeah.
You might not have the time right now. Great. That's why we have to change some of our habits. You know, even over like perfect example, like Austin and I asked Caleb to come get sushi with us this weekend. He was like, no, I really need to dedicate that time to study. So it's prioritizing. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, I would love to come out and hang out and socialize, but I have my interview in a week. I know I'm going to be working X amount of these days. So the days off, I need to be studying. Mm-hmm. And that's literally you making time. So for anybody listening, if you're thinking I have this big goal or this big career change, or I want to go back to school, and you're like, I just don't know how I'm going to have the time. You find the time, you make the time, and you make the adjustments to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, did I want to sit there and study instead of going to like one of our favorite sushi spots, or instead of playing video games or going and hang out with friends or, you know, what have you? Like, no, obviously mm-hmm. I wanted to go socialize and do something that was fun, but sometimes you have to, you know, put yourself and your goals first. And then once, you know, I achieve my goals, then I can go mm-hmm. and like have the fun, you know, you got to balance the work and the play a little bit.
Yeah. And I like that mindset too, because it's once it's done and I'm there, great. You literally said, you're like, once the interview's over, April, like we're free flying.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to Palm Springs. We can go get sushi.
Yep,
we
I'm
can
back do in events. The streets.
Yeah, literally back in the streets mm-hmm. after the interview. And I think you can have that mindset because you're so certain that this is going to be done. Because mm-hmm. in your mind, you've made up your mind. Like, I am going to be a CRNA. I'm going to CRNA school. Like, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
And so these temporary, quote unquote, sacrifices are worth it because you're going to reach that goal. And then you get to have all that extra time. And then when you're done with school, great. There's a sacrifice for those 3 years you're in school. You don't get to work. You're going to be studying all the time. You're probably not going to have the same amount of socialization. But then after that, you're making way more money in a job that you're feeling super passionate about, that you feel really lit up about. And so now you have literally the resources and that extra energy to go out and do all these things.
100%.
Because you've decided that this is a done deal. And a mm-hmm. lot of people don't come to that decision with their manifestations.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of the best ways for me personally is to just act like, okay, this is the step. I got my step, like I'm golden. Like that's literally, mm-hmm. I know already how I feel. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this interview and then like I'm set.
Yeah, it's
like,
done.
I already know I'm getting in. I already know, you know, I got my little spot. I mm-hmm. know that I can now just focus on like having a fun rest of the year mm-hmm. And enjoy my, you know, my free time before it's all taken away from me. And
before you have to move.
And before I have to move again and do all that stuff. And that's how I envision the rest of my year. And if I want it, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, 1,000%. You have to make that decision. It's so important. And I think that's what can really drive us when we are in the midst of these manifestations. Even when I think about like, oh, my big goal being with a podcast network and tripling my downloads and doing all these things. It's like, well, I know at the end of the day that that's bound to happen. So I'm going to take the action steps that I would be taking if I was there. It's like, you're going to be studying now so you can get into school where you're going to be doing more studying. It's like, we're doing that action now. Like I know mm-hmm. when I'm with a network, I'm going to be doing video podcasting. So hi, like here we are. Like I know there's all these things that we can start doing now when we know it's locked in And the only way you know it's locked in is because you decide. Nobody emailed me saying, Michaela, we're going to sign you if you reach these downloads and do these things. Like, nobody says that, oh, you're going to get into CRNA school when you do these exact flashcards and study like these exact things. We don't know that, but it goes back to the quantum field thing I was explaining of we get to mold that Play-Doh and make that decision, and the universe has no choice but to rearrange and make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want a Play-Doh castle, not a Play-Doh shack.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to live in the raccoon house.
No, I can't do that again.
We can't.
I can't do that again, for real.
We can't do that again. Been through the trenches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, this has been so great and so valuable. And I think it's really cool for us to get to see and hear other people's perspective as they're going after something big and something new. I mean, you've been doing ICU nursing for how many years now?
Yeah, I'm like 3 months away from 4 years.
A long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes courage and it takes a big leap to choose to do something different and something this big where you're not going to be working for 3 years, where your lifestyle is literally going to change. Like,
yeah,
we're not going to be able to go on the long trips that we get to go on now. Like, things are going to be different. It takes a lot of courage and it is scary and it's different. It's out of our comfort zone. We doubt ourselves. We go through all of these emotional processes. And I think it's really cool to get to hear somebody's experience. So one, we know we're not alone because we all experience that, but also to hear how we handle it differently and what our beliefs are that help us move forward in that process. So thank you for sharing with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always happy to be here and offer whatever advice I can.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to leave with the listeners when it comes to manifesting big career goals, getting through self-doubt, feeling more confident, anything you want to leave with us today?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say just work and act as if you already have accomplished that goal. And I mean, I feel like it sounds so corny, but like, just don't be scared. I have spent I've spent, you know, intermittent times of fear over the past 6 to 8 months of me, you know, doing such a big life change. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be okay. Like, it's all going to work out. If, you know, like, everything's literally going to be okay. I feel like that's all, like, that's just the easiest takeaway.
Yeah.
Like, your life's going to work out the way that, you know, it's supposed to, even if it doesn't look like how you maybe wanted it to. It's going to look just as better, if not even better, because of the different turns that you take. And so I'm a big future thinker, and so it's hard for me to not think this way, but like, maybe sometimes almost don't think too far ahead. Just work, you know, work towards your goals, work towards the goals that it gets to be there, and then don't be scared to do so.
Period. I love that. There's so many things I could say off of that. I'm like, but then we're going to be here for a whole other hour of recording. But you guys know I always say your excuses are boring and your fears are laughable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the mindset that you have, especially when we're making these big leaps and big changes in our lives. So that's a great, great little last bit to share with people.
100%.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for coming.
Caleb, so thank you for coming on and sharing with everybody today and being vulnerable to share all of your feelings.
Absolutely. Anytime. I'm happy to be here. I'll be here whenever you want me. And I'll see you guys in Palm Springs. If any of you guys are listening, I'll see you guys soon.
So excited. All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys next week on the podcast. Thank you so much again. And I'm sure we'll be having Caleb on very soon. Mm-hmm. If you guys want more of Caleb, message me over on Instagram. I'm at the Michaela J on Instagram. It's always linked in the show notes. Let me know if you have more questions for Caleb. You can also follow him on Instagram. He typically will follow you back.
I will. Yeah, I usually do.
All right. Thanks, guys, so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget to leave a 5-star rate and review. I love hearing your takeaways and wins from the podcast in the review section. So don't forget. Love you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye.